Back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres preseason begins with two games against the Blue Jackets, the team we are focused on here on our Team of the Day on Sabres Live. They will be at Nationwide, will Buffalo be on September 22nd, and then these two will come back and open things up in preseason form at KeyBank Center on September 23rd. Of course, Buffalo has games, two of them against Detroit and two against Pittsburgh also to round out the preseason. Now, as we roll along here, I mentioned off the top there's some birthdays that we want to get into.
A wide array of birthdays.
I'm quite sure that Nick Baptiste played preseason games against the Columbus Blue Jackets. What he also did was he played 47 NHL games with the Sabres, including an unforgettable first NHL goal in Vancouver. Nick is 30 today, and he undoubtedly remembers this moment clearer than anyone else because most observers to this play still don't know how the puck went in and or how he was credited with it. Because, Marty, my thing whenever I think of Nick Baptiste is, he's the only guy I know of that scored his first NHL goal without a shot. And sure enough, I went back in the archives today. There's been no scoring change on the sheet. He still has no shots on goal in this game, but he does have one NHL tally. What a night. What a debate. What a coach's challenge. What a moment for Nick Baptiste.
It was an own goal on the score sheet as they give you now, if it's a deflection, a snapshot, a slap shot, whatever. Own goal, so it was, and it was hard to tell if he was the last one to have touched the puck. Right? Like it was almost impossible to tell which Sabres last touched the puck, but it was credited to Nick Baptiste. No shots on goal. Unfortunately, we saw a team getting no shots on goal in the period actually score a goal last year. That doesn't happen too often. That was against Buffalo, Baptiste did his a very unique way. And you know what? I looked at his numbers, Duffer, and I looked at, look, he had, you know, 3 goals in 14 NHL games his first year pro. Then the next year, he scored 4 goals in 33, never really made it back to the Sabres and the NHL. Had a really nice season in Milwaukee, bounced around with Toronto, the Marlies, then went to Europe. But still playing in Europe, played in the DEL last year. Went a little bit to the KHL, came back to Germany, but he's been keep playing, and he was so talented in juniors. His junior numbers, he got to play with Connor McDavid with the Erie Otters for a little bit, a half a season, but he had some amazing junior numbers.
You know, on this date in 1921, Rocket Richard was born. Oof. Do you know what Rocket's full name is?
Well, it's Joseph Maurice something Richard.
Hockey Reference says Joseph Henry Maurice Richard.
So I believe the way that we did it a lot back home, Joseph was ever my technically my first name on my birth certificate is Joseph. It was, and all the girls were Mary. So Joseph and Mary, that's with the Catholic Church. So your birth certificate started with Joseph in the province of Quebec. And then it was technically your first name. Then it was your middle name, which often was your godfather's name or your godmother's name. So that was it. But some families kept a family name, like maybe for the Richard family was Henry or Henri, because then you had Henri Richard later. But then
what do you think? What do you think Henri's first name was?
Well, Joseph.
Joseph, yes.
Yes, Joseph Henri Richard.
Rocket was Joseph Henri Maurice Richard, and the Pocket Rocket was Joseph Henri Richard. He didn't have the extra name.
Okay. He didn't have the extra name. Okay,
I'll attribute this to Hockey Reference just so I'm not, you know, blamed for this. How many cups?
Well, I will let you know also on Wiki, because obviously Henri Richard is going to be on Wikipedia.
Well, don't look too much because I wanted to ask a trivia question.
Oh, well, it just says Joseph Henri Richard.
Right.
It doesn't have like an extra name like Maurice would. Maybe they decided by that point, hey, we're using Henri. Like, that's the way it is. But yes.
Yeah, I mean, there was 15 years between them. So yes,
ran out of names.
Yeah, they might have run out of names. How many cups between the Rocket and the Pocket Rocket?
Like as players or as overall?
Players, I would assume, yes.
12?
Combined?
Oh, it must be way more than that then.
Way more than that.
Okay, I'm going to
say... Dude, Pocket Rocket had 11 on his own.
Oh, 11. Well, okay, yes. So I'm going to say 19.
19 is the correct number. Okay. Rocket won 8, Pocket Rocket 11.
For whatever reason, I had Pocket Rocket at 8.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I'm not sure, Maurice, where that stood, but okay. Amazing. So 11 and 8.
19 Stanley Cups between the two of them.
The story is pretty amazing. Again, if you have some time, I don't know where you would find it for streaming or not. The movie, The Rockets, great mm-hmm. movie. It tells a story, but it also tells how he got to where he was. And the fact that Henri Richard came in after and was able to really play out of his brother's shadow, because they called him the Pocket Rocket, but it was flattering to be able to use your brother's nickname as the Rocket Richard and be called the Pocket Rocket because you still had those numbers mm-hmm. and you performed at that level. Incredible.
Over 1,000 points for Henri Richard. Over 1,200 games played, which was an astronomical number back then. When you look, like, we kind of get almost, you know, it feels like every year, multiple times a year, 1,000 games for this guy, 1,000 games for that. And then you look at the all-time games played leaders and you start with Marlowe and you see how many of them are in this most recent, you know, last 25 years that we've seen the entirety of their careers. Well, I mean, Rocket played 978, but Henri was over 1,200. So both ended up as Hall of Famers in their own right, on their own merit. My question to you, was Rocket Richard a point-a-game player in his career?
I'm going to say no.
Correct.
I would think that early in his career, there was too many, or would it be late in his career, maybe too many seasons where he fell short to match that, but...
he was close.
He wasn't a point of game. Was
966 in 978 games played. So he was very, very, very close.
And okay, so I'm going to look quickly. He started his career with the Montreal Canadiens. He only played 16 games his first year. He had 11 points, broke his ankle. He thought his mm-hmm. career was going to be over. A broken ankle back then was something you may not recover from. Mm-hmm. And then he was a point of game pretty much for, you know, the better part of his first 10, 12 years. And then after that, it dropped slightly.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Just a little bit after. But how about, you mentioned, so Maurice, obviously born on this day in 1921. He died in 2000. It was mm-hmm. kind of like a legend passing away. Like the funeral, the viewing at the... you know, at the Bell Center, everybody mm-hmm. coming through and all of that. Incredible. But so Henri Richard won the Stanley Cup his first 5 seasons. He went 5 in a row with the Canadiens in the mm-hmm. 50s, from 55 to 60. Then he didn't win the Cup. I was going to say he lost the Cup. He didn't win the Cup for 4 years in a row.
Yeah.
But after that, he never went more than a year without winning a cup. He won 2, then didn't win 1. 1-2, didn't win 1. 1-1, didn't win 1. Like, he never went more than...
Amazing.
Or overall, 4 years without winning the cup. But other than that stretch of 4 seasons, never went without a year, like more than a year without winning a cup.
Henri passed in 2020. Another birthday on this day is Ilya Sorokin. He's also 30 years of age. Our team of the day is the Columbus Blue Jackets. We delve deep into their goaltending in the first half hour of the show. This is a Jackets team franchise that has missed the playoffs each of the last 5 years. In their 25-year history, they have 1 playoff series win. That's it. In 25 years.
And they swept the Tampa Bay Lightning mm-hmm. and they were down 3-0 early in the second period in that game, mm-hmm. and Sergei Bobrovsky made a miraculous save against Tampa early in the second. We're to put Tampa up 4-0. And then Columbus came back, won that game swept the Tampa Bay Lightning. John Tortorella was the coach. Mm-hmm. It was a very significant series because Tampa made some, I don't want to say big changes, but they got themselves going after getting swept by Columbus.
Right, but as you mentioned, Tortorella and the last 5 years of no playoffs, they've had four coaches in that time. So it's been a great, great, great challenge for this organization to find that consistency year after year and ultimately try to make inroads in the playoffs. Do you think that after Sean Monahan had arguably the best year of his career, the only reason we use arguably is because he only played 54 games. He had 57 points in those 54 games en route to winning the Masterton Trophy and was the clear leader of this group after the loss of his best friend in Johnny Gaudreau. But with Monahan now, there's a veteran in Charlie Coyle who, unlike Henri Richard, doesn't win the cup all the time, but almost guarantees that you're going to be in the playoffs every year. Yeah. So that might be the reason why the Jackets went out and got him and Miles Wood and all the rest of it. But like for me, Kent Johnson is a huge story in all of this. When the Jackets had that unfortunate run in March where they lost 8 out of 9, mm-hmm. Johnson had 1 point in 8 games.
Yep.
Other than that, he was basically a point a game player. Nobody talks about Kent Johnson. Everybody talks about Monahan and Marchenko and Fantilli and Werenski. Like, Kent Johnson might end up being a superstar as early as this season, in my opinion.
I think Duffer is Kent Johnson 2 years ago had a really, really tough year. And it kind of fell off the face of the Columbus like radar. Because all these other young guys came through and Kent Johnson took a back seat. Now he took a forward spring this year, which was great, but it was alongside everybody else. It's not like anybody in Columbus like took 3 steps back while Ken Johnson took steps forward. Everybody took steps forward. They went from 66 points to 89. Like they all took steps forward.
Right. And that's under Dean Evason. And that's why I mentioned, you know, the recent coaches. And I really think Evason just commentary from Chinnikoff aside, I really think Evason is the right guy to be leading this group.
He's tough to play for. He's a tough coach.
He is tough to play for sure.
I looked at his track record. Number one, he has been in the National Hockey League as a coach, assistant coach, and then he did take some time away like in the mid-2010s to go and coach in Milwaukee. But he has been in the National Hockey League as a coach, assistant coach, since 2005. After the 2004-05 lockout, he was an assistant with the Washington Capitals. Actually, was an assistant when my brother played for the Washington Capitals that year. So it's been a long time.
Right.
But his 3 full seasons as head coach with the Minnesota Wild had a 670, a 689, a 628 point percentage. Like, those are great numbers. And this year, what does he do? Well, it's a 543, but he missed the playoffs by 2 points. Like, he did a fantastic job.
Against enormous odds based on everything that happened with that 100%. Team. I was going to do this in trivia fashion, but I think we're running out of time. Adam Fantilli is the one to really focus on, however. From January the 4th on, which is basically the last half of the season, the NHL goals leader was David Pastrnak with 30. Ovechkin was next with 26, along with Tage Thompson and Jason Robertson. They also had 26. And then Morgan Geeky at 25. This is an amazing list. And the next group at 24, Leon Draisaitl, Alex Tuck, Wyatt Johnston, and Adam Fantilli. Look out, world. Adam Fantilli has arrived.
And Tuck on those lists. Like, that's great for us to say, look, again, it's not about the offense. It's about the defense. Columbus, I just mentioned, best scoring team at 5-on-5 this year. They still miss the playoffs. It's about, can you get the saves? But it's great for them to have the, like you mentioned, the Fantilli and those guys performing. And I think they have the toughest guy in the National Hockey League in Matthew Olivier. The way that he plays, probably the toughest fighter and plays a role and plays hockey on that team. It gives them a little bit of an added something on that club.
Well, it's going to be at least 2 months from now before Columbus can fall into our best or worst of the weekend. That's what we do on Mondays on Sabres Live, and that is next, right after this.